Isn't this a sports show?
You're the Ben Roethlisberger of...
I don't want to be the Ben Roethlisberger of anything.
Twitter? Sports radio Twitter? Just blocking people out here?
Almost entirely.
People who have never even heard of you just like will go to your account and say, yeah, he's blocking me.
Could I be...
So who's Antonio Brown here?
Also Josh?
That's what I thought the answer was going to be.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Am I also Le'Veon Bell?
Probably.
Yeah. And also, can I also be Mike Tomlin? Like, it's also me that's barely holding it all together in a fragile ecosystem.
Yeah, like, it is just the 2018 Pittsburgh
the 2018 Steelers.
All inside it.
Is Rudy James Conner or is that also you?
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Huzzah! I'm not an idiot yet. You just want me saying huzzah, I'm not an idiot yet?
Yes.
That feels right.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
Back-to-back AFC Championship games at Arrowhead. Let's go.
Woo!
Into the mic, Beards.
Wait. It's not pulling.
Beards, pop.
It's not pulling.
Beards.
It's not going.
Yay!
Beards pops party poppers like he hits sports centers.
Rarely and late.
Just a little late.
Welcome in to another AFC Championship game edition of Almost Entirely Sports. Whole crew back together. Rudy, no longer sick. Yeah. It's Wednesday, and we're talking about Chiefs-Texans. Them's the breaks. If you're listening live and thinking, oh, it's too bad they didn't talk sooner, guess what we did? We were over on ESPN Kansas City on Monday. So there are some things that we will simply not get to tonight going back to Chiefs-Texans, which is why you should subscribe to Almost Entirely Sports. We've got your podcasts. We got 3 hours of stuff over there, but we have 2 hours of stuff for you tonight, including the world premiere of Sad Texans Fans on Reddit. That's coming up in an hour from now. Beards, can I get a very early tease for 1 hour from now? Sad Texans Fans on Reddit. How bad did it get?
Oh.
Is that your official preview?
That's my official statement.
Can you for one more thing on this, Beards, and then we're gonna get into some other stuff for tonight.
Like
almost
Michael
all Chiefs
Porter
stuff.
Jr. updates.
Nope, absolutely bleeping
well,
not.
Guess who just started? I mean, not him, but the game.
Not him. Not him. This is your first update.
I mean, it could have been.
I'm going to throw your iPad into the lake, and it's a ways away from here. I'm going to throw like a Frisbee off the balcony.
We played this game before. You can't make it that far.
Yeah.
It's true.
This thing my guess is this thing carries a little bit farther than a football.
I'm going to throw it into the parking lot. Beards, how long is an average edition of Sad Fans on Reddit?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Joshua.
Why did you say my full name like that?
An average Sad Fans
like
usually is about like 4 to 6 minutes. The music bed stops at 6 minutes. I usually try to don't go past the music bed.
Rudy, do you want to guess how long this one goes? I'm going to say an average one goes 4 to 6 minutes. I'm going to say this one's 2.5.
I was going to say the whole 9 o'clock hour is just tape. We're actually out here at 9, just... Beards and his Sad Fans.
Beards, how long is Sad Texans Fans?
13 minutes.
Yeah. So that's at 9.
See you guys on Friday when this is done.
We are bumping the first hour of the Border Patrol tomorrow because it's all Sad Fans until 7 a.m.
It's just Sad Fans on the show until after the Super Bowl, basically. It's just
that's
Texans,
probably right.
Sad Texans Fans. When the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, we'll be back because I'll finally be done playing, you know.
So, well, we'll get some Sad Titans fans in there that Beards can make on the fly, and then some Sad Niners fans. I'm ready for it.
That Reddit page is just going to be happy. Hey, we got this far. Like,
yeah.
My guess is Sad Titans fan will be the least sad because, like, they.
Do you think Niners fans would be that sad if they lost the Super Bowl? They have Jimmy Garoppolo. What do they expect? They're making the Super Bowl with.
Paying Jimmy Garoppolo like he's a.
I mean, that's true.
That probably makes them a little sad.
That's probably true. But so that's in an hour, and we have a bunch of audio from today because the Chiefs had the press availability this morning, which was Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and then a handful of other players, plus some other audio from around the sports world. One clip in particular that I'm honestly worried I'm going to get non-ironically super mad about we'll see where we land that particular plane.
You're going to.
I think I'm going to. It really bothers me.
You've been like on the verge of madness a couple times today because of this.
I've gotten quite worked up about a bad take, which is not usually my brand. People can have bad sports takes. It's fine. I'll be right. You'll be wrong. It's okay.
Trubisky still's got a chance.
But I do want to take a minute while we're all together to I know we're a few days removed, but my God, I still, every time I go back to Chiefs Texans, I come up with another thing that I go, oh, wow, I don't think we talked about that. We did 3 hours on that game on Monday. Again, you can grab on the podcast page if you missed it. We did 3 hours of that on that game on Monday. And I don't think I ever talked about how good Patrick Mahomes was in the pocket. If he would have been that good, just simply his pocket presence and movement and scrambling, if he would have looked like that against the Bears, that would have been a Seth Kizer film review. He's tomorrow, by the way. There was no show yesterday, so we're going to take Seth tomorrow. That would have been a Seth Kizer film review. It would have been the first hour of this show. And we would have talked about how Mahomes had had a problem drifting out of the pocket or bailing too soon or whatever for a few weeks, then said he was going to work on it, and then went back to being the best thing in football at managing a pocket. But because it happened in that fever dream, I don't even think we talked about it on Monday. The Chiefs had red zone issues from early season through late season, like the main middle chunk of the season. The Chiefs had problems scoring in the red zone. I told you I thought it was more about individual execution, not necessarily a big systemic thing, not necessarily a strategic thing, just
everybody getting tape on last year and being super prepared.
Correct. Not that either. It was just a lineman gets beat, Kelsey drops a pass, now you're out 14 points. Instead of 14, it's 6, whatever. I told you that's where I was coming from. But then against the Texans, they just march. Touchdown. I think I said touchdown 7 times in a row.
You did.
Which is what they actually did. It was.
And then a field goal. Just showing that again. Red zone problems.
Yes, you're right.
They were only 7 out of 8.
They were only up 48 to 20. What, 21 at that point, I think.
In the Super Bowl, if you score 7 touchdowns out of 8 chances in the red zone, are you going to win?
I'm going to say yes, probably.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay. I think that's good enough.
But I mean, like, we talked about the absolutely tickled I was by an offense that just refused to run the football in the most dominant offensive quarter in the history of the sport. Like, I think that will never stop being funny to me. That in that second quarter, they ran the ball. They handed the ball off. Mahomes scrambled some ineffectively.
Design runs.
Yes, they handed the ball off. One time for a loss of 2 yards. And then Andy Reid said, bleep that bleep. We're doing nothing but throwing the rest of the quarter.
There was an air raid siren that went off in the Chiefs locker room. Somebody had to run and get and like smash the glass.
That's
for the special
what that
play
siren
book.
Was I heard out
yes.
there.
Just run out. And it's just all plays. They're like, okay, 500 yards
they're,
guaranteed.
They're literally air raid plays, Beards. That was literally the perfect siren for you to say.
Yeah.
That wasn't even intentional.
I figured it wasn't, but you should take credit for it, because that's exactly what it was. It was the air raid siren.
Man, that was so intentional.
I hid underneath the desk out at Arrowhead because I thought we were in trouble, and turns out it wasn't. I mean, Texans were in trouble, but...
Maybe that's what it was for. It was a warning for them.
We have a problem, I think.
That famous line from that movie.
Famous line
Houston,
from that
we have
room.
A problem,
I think.
Come on.
I'm pretty sure that's... Oh, now I've forgotten the movie. I was going to throw out the movie. Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Beard, you know what I'm talking about, right?
It's not Bruce Willis.
No, Bruce Willis is the star of the movie.
Yeah.
Armageddon?
Armageddon.
Yeah. It's not Armageddon.
No, not Armageddon.
No, what it's Apollo 13.
No, I mean, I get that, but I'm...
We're going to say a different movie?
Yes.
Okay. I got nervous for a second.
Yes.
Whenever I'm out here correcting you on movies that were made before 2014...
I don't know if I actually ever saw Apollo 13, though, either.
It is too Armageddon.
No, Armageddon's the movie with Bruce Willis.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, God. Was it Apollo 11? I said Apollo 13.
It
Which one is
Apollo
it?
13.
Oh, no.
Is it Apollo 12? Well, there's...
It's not...
Both were made into movies.
I think I was right. Yeah, Apollo 13's
that was
got
95.
Yeah, it's got Tom Hanks and
Apollo 11.
What's his name? I was right. Kevin Bacon, Bill Paxton. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Apollo 11 was the one that just came out. Or like last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Apollo 11, they say, Houston, we have a problem, I think. That's in Apollo, it's in Apollo 11.
That's what he said, Houston. One small step for Houston, one large leap for Houston kind.
Man, Bruce Willis won the Razzie for worst actor in that movie.
In Armageddon?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it has a lot of them. Worst director nomination, worst original song, that's slanderous. Worst picture, worst screen couple, worst screenplay, worst supporting actress. Got a 38 in Rotten Tomatoes. Deep Impact was like it is at least like a 50.
Critics gave it a 38. Audience gave it a 73.
And that feels low.
That's
even.
Just because of the Aerosmith song.
That's, is that what the...
That's a good song.
I didn't know Armageddon was a Michael Bay movie.
I mean, of course it was. They blew up an asteroid.
Like, great point.
What wasn't the hint?
It's I don't know.
Great point. It is a movie based around blowing up stuff.
No, it makes sense. I just never really thought about that.
Yeah.
So, wait, so did Deep Impact get better? No, Deep Impact was slightly better for critics, way worse for audience.
Yeah, makes sense.
Those are basically the same movie, right?
Yes, and they came out like the same year, I think.
I think we've done this bit before, but like some of those movies that come out like 6 months apart, it's like the Disney version comes out, and then the DreamWorks version comes out.
Bugs, Ant Life.
Nope.
Bugs Life and Ants.
Yep.
I got there.
Beard's quick. Quick pull just sort of for you.
I got there.
Just quick pull for you. Did you think he was doing a bit until he corrected himself?
I didn't notice until you said it. Because it just kind of like went right over my head. I was like, yeah, those two movies. And then you were like, wait a second. I was like, no, that's not right.
Rudy just said
I picked up on it very quickly, at least.
Ant's Life.
Yeah. I don't think I finished Life. I was
Bugs
going
Life.
In that process.
It's called Bugs Life. You've never finished Bugs Life?
No, I don't think I finished Stallone. Saying the word Ant's Life. I was like, Ant's Life. And then it kind of like finally hit after you had said, wait, what? And I was like, nope, that's not right.
Rudy, we have a problem, maybe, I think, potentially. Rudy, we might have an issue here. I will accept you screwing up famous quotes for the remainder of today's show.
It was Apollo 13 scores ago.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That one sucks.
That wasn't good.
That was forced.
I mean, they're all going to be forced. But Houston, we have a problem, I think, followed up by Ant's Life and Bugs with a Z. It's sort of a special... I think the last words that Rudy said to me before the show started today, I kid you not, were, I need a nap.
It might have been. It was pretty close to the start of the show when I said that. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
It's been a long few days.
It sure has.
I get to wake up at 3:45 tomorrow. Almost said today.
You want to complain about that right now, or... Maybe save that for a later segment. Rudy complains about getting up really early tomorrow.
That can be safe for sad fans.
We can chase sad fans with complaining Rudy.
Sad Rudy.
That's what it's called, right?
I have my own Reddit page.
Bugs. So the Chiefs did the thing where, you know, that every great team does at some point in their lives where they're down by 20 and then win by 20. Who doesn't do that, huh? Come on.
I mean, the Patriots did it a million times.
They did it this year 14 times.
Yeah.
They're a juggernaut.
Titans do it every week.
The Ravens do it constantly.
Because they established the run, Joshua.
I don't like you using the last two letters of my name. I don't feel like you've earned that.
That's why I do it.
I don't like it. You get like this. There was a tweet that popped up on Twitter, believe it or not.
MySpace?
If you could have just gotten that joke
a
2 seconds
quicker.
Sooner.
Yeah.
2 seconds. 1 second sooner. Rudy's out here trying to establish the dumb. So, there was a tweet up on
MySpace.
Thank you. From Arrowhead Analytics, which is just a superb account that I'm constantly stealing from. Although I'm trying to remember if they're at is Arrowhead Analytics or if the display name is and the account is at Chiefs Analytics. I can't remember.
It is at Chiefs Analytics.
Perfect.
With the display name, Arrowhead Analytics.
They should really just pick one. Stick with it. I'm confused. I'm easily confused. Yeah, they're at Chiefs Analytics.
With a Z.
Nope. But they tweeted something about how if we've talked around here, especially on this show, a good amount this entire season about like, hey, if we could just nudge Andy Reid in a slightly more aggressive mindset on a variety of things, this team could be a juggernaut, right? And they tweeted something along the lines of, if I could guarantee that Andy Reid would either be more aggressive on fourth downs or continue to be more aggressive late into games that they have a lead in already, they would no doubt take the latter. And I agree with that 1,000%. I would love to see a little more going forward on fourth and one, fourth and two, fourth and three in positive territory. Hell, if you're in a weird no man's land between being able to punt and kicking the field goal, which the Chiefs screwed up recently, you should go for it on fourth and four, fourth and five. You can go for it fourth and seven if you want. Look at this offense. You all saw what happened on Sunday, right? But the thing that was like multifold with the offense on Sunday that is so exciting to me is they totally abandoned the run, except for in the most obvious situations like goal line scenarios, which is a fine time to run the football. And they threw the ball to Damien Williams out of the backfield, which I'm good with. They even did some sort of creative run adjacent stuff with Mecole Hardman, and I think Sammy Watkins might have had a carry.
He did.
Hardman's was technically a forward pass, a little jet sweep thing, but Watkins had an actual carry, yeah. Right? Okay. So some creativity there, great. Mahomes tucking and running to get a nice chunk of yardage, excellent. But the process of turning around, handing the ball off to Damien Williams, they did not need. I wish I would have done. I wish I would have gone and seen if I could have charted the number of play actions they ran, because they were not running the ball at all, and I imagine they were running play action that was working just fine. But they totally ditch the running game, which is the weakest part of their offense, the traditional running game, I'll call it for now. They throw it constantly, and they keep their foot on the gas until they are literally at 48 points. Whatever it is, 48-21, they pull back a little bit with like 8 minutes left in the game or something like that. It might not have been 21. The Texans might have had more than that. Regardless, it was a lot and it was late in the game. They kicked the field goal, run it out a couple of drives. Fine by me. But bringing all of those things together, and also, by the way, like, there was some downfield passing, but there was a lot of the intermediate stuff, and also, again, like, the red zone efficiency was superb. I'm just so pleased by how good the offense looked on Sunday, and frankly, I think it's totally repeatable. And furthermore, the first quarter issues, I believe they were up 48-31 whenever that was wrapping up.
I was pulling that up to confirm or give you the exact number, and that's what I just saw too.
I would have had all this memorized
There was a lot of scoring. Blake Bell had that touchdown right at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and
that made it 48-31.
That made it 48-31. Okay. Bucker kicked a field goal with about 8 minutes left to make it 51-31. So really, like the fourth, about that time on that drive is when things, where they scored the field goals, when they started to.
And there's a lot of Damien Williams after that and all that.
Yeah. By the way, Rudy, Josh can back me up on this. He was a witness.
Yes, this is going to be true.
I was listening to the radio feed and Josh was watching TV. And
yeah, that'll be great.
Blake Bell scored the touchdown. And I kid you not, I yelled, "Oh, no!" And Josh was like, "Wait, what happened?"
Because he was ahead by a little bit. Yeah. Would you like to explain why
you
yelled,
"Oh,
no"? You didn't end the story.
Because Rudy likes Blake Bell too much.
Well, he's the belldozer.
Case in point.
If he hadn't caught that pass, he would not have said the word belldozer on today's show.
This was the belldozer game.
And that would have been you know, better for beards if you just not.
Hey, it was a good day for Lebo out there. He had 4 Oklahoma Sooner touchdowns. Blake Bell had 1. Damian Williams had 3.
Damian Williams did have 3.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of forgot he had 3. Mm-hmm. Jerry caught the one there. Whenever you say Damian Williams had 3 touchdowns, Blake Bell had 1,
yeah.
And those guys were, like, at best, like, the 3rd and 4th most impactful offensive mm-hmm. players in that game. You know something went pretty good.
Almost 4th and 5th.
Totally. Yeah, no.
3rd and 5th.
I was just sort of pulling numbers out of the air, but, I mean, it's Mahomes, 1, Kelce, 2. Tyreek Hill wasn't super productive, mm-hmm. but you wonder what his actual role was.
They made it sound like his main role in that game was decoy, and I, you know, you could make an argument that considering they scored 51 points, maybe it worked.
Yeah, decoy is a funny word because I don't think you plan for Tyreek Hill not to be in your game plan. But if the Texans say we're going to make this dude impossible for you to get to,
and that's to say, like in theory. Tyreek and Kelce are always decoys in the sense that if you double or triple coverage them, you're now opening up other guys. Like Sammy Watkins.
Or they're never decoys.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins had 2 big catches, and, you know, in part because he was able to get one-on-one coverage, in large part because everybody's so worried about other people.
Yeah. I think
and they were both free plays.
I did not realize that.
Is that true?
I think we said that on a post-game show.
That seems like something I might have said and then immediately forgotten. I do that sometimes.
I remembered.
I feel like on free plays, he does like to throw to Sammy Watkins. It's like maybe that's Sammy's time.
It's plausible.
Yeah.
So regardless, this was the second and third quarter, at least, were like genuinely everything that I have begged the Chiefs to be, and I don't think Andy Reid's listening to the podcast. I think he listens live every night, sets an alarm on his phone.
I think he watches on Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Is there like an Andrew Reid, R-E-E-D, on their beards that pops up on a regular basis?
I mean, there's an Andrew Whiteside.
I don't think that's him. Although, if it is him, then Andy Reid's a big fan of the show, because Andrew's everywhere.
I'm just gonna say,
maybe it's him. You know what?
I can't prove that it's not him.
The Andrew's avatar on Twitter is like an X-Man or something. Do you know what it? Either of you know what it is?
I don't remember.
It's like it looks like a comic book thing of some sort.
I'm pretty sure he changed it. It looks like it might be. I'm pulling it up right now. It looks like it's a flower now.
Oh,
yeah,
it's a curveball. Wasn't ready for that. Anyway,
and
it's
says,
never been
lest
a,
we forget.
It's never been a. Human face, as far as I've seen,
with a mustache.
Maybe it's Andy Reid. Maybe it's been him this whole time. So regardless, again, for the second time, I am just so pleased because I'm just gonna go ahead and pat myself on the back a little bit. Everything that I've said that I wanted, and everything that I've hoped, and everything that I've believed, and everything that we on this show have been talking about for months on end, feels like it was justified in this game. Oh, it was validated, if not justified. It was validated that this is how good it can look. And frankly, the defense was actually excellent. Blown coverage, mm-hmm. first drive.
And that's bad. But,
and that sucks.
Yeah.
If you give one big mistake defensive touchdown up a game, I would sign up for that immediately, mm-hmm. especially with this offense. But outside of that, it was special teams mistakes.
Yeah.
The 14 of those points were really on the special teams. 7 were on the defense. And then after that, it was 3, and then another then in the second quarter.
The late
touchdown. And then the third. Nothing in the fourth. Game over, man.
Andrew says it was Magneto.
So I was right. I was going to guess Magneto. I almost called it the Magneto. Yeah, the character from the Fantastic Avengers. An ant's life.
The Fantastic Mr. Avenger.
That's my favorite Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah. I think you mean Paul W.S. Anderson.
I don't. I don't at all. That's not even a deep cut. It's just, I don't know if we ever said the phrase Paul W.S. Anderson on the radio. That might not
it's in
not
a
only
Google Doc somewhere.
That might not only not just not be a deep cut. That might be a cut for If You Are Me or Beards and talk to Rudy.
On the cutting room floor somewhere.
It's right.
Somewhere.
That's a cutting room floor deep cut. You have to work here to get that joke. You have to be me or Beards. I'm just very pleased with this offense. I don't want to be like super cynical here because Mahomes makes me break this all the time. But there are times when I'm trying to, especially now hosting the postgame show here on 810, like whenever I'm watching Chiefs games, I'm trying to figure out what the bleep is going on most of the time, right? And so sometimes, I don't want to say it takes the emotion out of it, but I'm trying to understand what I'm seeing. It's more like studying a book that you're reading instead of just reading along and then being swept away with it or whatever.
You're not caught up in the emotions on the aftermath of a play. Your mind is immediately thinking, okay, what just happened?
Yeah.
Why did it happen?
Yeah. Stuff. And sometimes, again, there'll be like a Mahomes play where that changes for a moment.
You just go, whoa.
Yeah. And I enjoy that happening. It just happens more and more infrequently for me. Mm-hmm. The second quarter of this game, I was just like standing on the desk, tearing my clothes off and screaming, what the bleep, what the bleep, what the bleep.
It was really weird, man.
It was so weird.
No, I mean you.
Oh.
It's kind of how I was when Michael Porter Jr. just went coast to coast, scored 2 points.
All right. We're going to take a break. I'm going to snap Rudy's iPad over my knee. Left side Texans fans in 30 minutes. Whenever we come back, I'm going to get really angry, I bet. And I don't really want to, but I don't think I can help it. And I just think I'm going to feel better. It's like whenever you feel sick and you just, and you don't want to barf, but you know you'll feel better if you do.
Trust me, about a week ago, I know exactly how you felt.
Whenever we come back, I'm going to barf.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
It's my favorite old movie. Blowing out with the wind. Rosebud.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Almost Entirely Sports, where the almost is just for loving movies, such as... I don't know, you guys got one? Big Impact.
The 7 Cowboys versus Aliens. I actually saw that movie in theaters.
I did. Lord so did Crowns? I. What did you say, Rudy?
Lord of the Crowns.
Lord of the Crowns is pretty good. The Hateful 12.
Where our most insightful sports talks always occur during commercial breaks.
We did have a good, conversation about Tyrann Mathieu. We had a real conversation about when we thought that the game was back in the Chiefs' hands. And we will save all of that until after I purge this audio. I am not fundamentally anti-Bill Simmons, for the record. Some people are, and I get that. I'm not. In fact, Beards grabbed some other audio from the same podcast that this clip is from that you'll hear here in just a second. And it's something that I think is actually like really reasonable and actually kind of an astute observation about Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, and not like in a super convoluted way. I think it kind of makes sense.
You would take a... Never mind. I'm not going to ruin this moment for you. You go.
Thank you, Rudy.
I was going to make a joke, but it would have ruined your
moment. Making the joke is probably better than starting a joke and then bailing out and then explaining you were going to make a joke.
Probably, but I'm not going to ruin the joke? This moment for you. Nah. I'm good.
Thanks for preserving the sanctity of the moment.
You're welcome.
So that's all a clip that I think is reasonable and coming from a pretty good place and, yeah, you know, kind of an astute, interesting observation. That is not this clip that you're about to hear. The clip that you're about to hear is not any of those things. I'm going to just let it play. And then, Beards, you might need to help me, like, go back to a couple of things. I don't know. I so rarely, and maybe this is because I am not, like... Skip Bayless could say all this, and it would be annoying, and I might consider even bringing it to air. But, like, you know it's just a dude just barfing words. Simmons isn't like that. And so what I the reason that I think this strikes a nerve with me is because I don't think that he's completely alone in this. And I want to make sure that everyone understands what a soulless, short-sighted argument this is. How absurd it is to its core, and how there is no merit to it on any level. And other than that, it's fine. Listen to what Simmons says about the best player left in the playoffs.
If you had to pick one person to start a 2019 playoff team with right now, it would probably be Mahomes, right?
Instead of Derrick Henry? I mean, because he's still the scariest right now.
The way this playoffs has played out, amazingly, Derrick Henry might be the first pick now.
Yeah.
There's a helplessness with him that I haven't felt in 40 years since Earl Campbell, where you're just like, oh my God, this guy's like a man amongst boys. It's untackleable. And you think about him in this Chiefs game next week, and if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm terrified because the Ravens were playing eight men in the box. They were doing basically when you play Madden and you do the engage eight, both teams were doing that, where you're just like, look, you're not running it. You're going to have to throw it. I'm not letting you run. And Henry was still running it. Yeah. So I don't, if I'm the Chiefs and Chris Jones isn't playing next week, and it's just a classic scenario of the Titans, you know, they're just going to try to keep the Chiefs off the field. You know, Henry's going to have 35, 36 yards, runs again. I'd done all this research with Henry, and there was literally no parallel in the history of football to him having those three games in a row. And I was like, well, there's no way he's going to do that a third time.
How do we keep doing this? What? All of those categories are so buck wild. As reasons that Derrick Henry is a better player to start a playoff team with than Patrick Mahomes.
Now, to be fair,
Rudy!
Do you think Texans fans ever felt hopeless against Mahomes this last week?
This is how there's a helplessness, he argues, with Derrick Henry, who has...
That's my favorite part.
These last 2 weeks, hand to God, I went back through, I watched these games, I went back through and like charted this out. There were two touchdown drives that I would say were thanks to Derrick Henry for the Titans. Two in 2 weeks. But he's an excellent player. I understand if you have him as a part of your offense, you feel an urge to let him run the ball because he moves like a bowling ball, and I get it, and it's fun. But to say that there is a helplessness, that there is a feeling of cosmic inevitability with Derrick Henry, and that is the reason that you're taking him over Patrick Mahomes, is insane! It's crazy! Mahomes was down in that first quarter, 24-0. And as we were talking during the break, we were saying, and we talked about this in the post game, we talked about this all freaking week. After the first touchdown, I bet Texans fans found themselves sitting in pools of urine. Because, and Jason has corrected my canonical issues with the statement, so I've now fixed them. Scoring one touchdown turns Patrick Mahomes into the giant eater of worlds from the Fantastic Four that follow the Silver Surfer. Galactus? Is that it? Rudy, will you Google that, please? I don't want Jason to text me again. I'm afraid of him. There is this total inevitability about here comes Patrick Mahomes. A quarter has passed, and now you're losing. So
you were right.
Galactus, yes. Nailed it. Thank you, Drake. The idea that somehow, in any way other than maybe just having to stand in front of him and tackle him, that Derrick Henry is the scariest thing in
these
playoffs.
That's what I was going to say, probably. The helplessness of like physically trying to bring him down.
But that's not what the argument was there. I know. Mm-hmm. That's sure. Yes. Because what would you feel more helpless about? Guarding a pass thrown by Patrick Mahomes, who would you rather have a 14 or a 24-point lead on? I would rather have it on Derrick Henry and have Patrick Mahomes on my side. And if you think that's even close, I just don't know if you know what you're seeing. And I understand, because some of the stuff you're seeing with Patrick Mahomes is like hard to comprehend. But you have to try. My God. But keeping the Chiefs off the field, I put that in quotes because everyone says it, and looking at it, oh, Chiefs fans should be worried. That's not a thing. That's not how football works. It's not make it, take it. Like, you can have a 10-minute drive that is one possession, and then the Chiefs get one possession. The only way you keep an offense off the field is with turnovers or onside kicks, which is, again, which is the reason the Chiefs were in the hole they were against the Texans, by the way, was turnovers on special teams.
Because the offense was kept off the field when Tyreek Hill dropped or muffed a punt.
Yep.
Like, and that's a good way to keep the offense off the field.
And honestly,
you kept the offense off the field. On the blocked punt, was that a three and out?
Well, it made the blocked punt made them lose a possession, essentially, yeah. You know? It kind of skipped the Chiefs' turn in a way. So I see, I mean, you immediately get points. But then again, right, the offense does come back out. Tyreek Hill muffing that punt, that's losing a possession.
Yep.
And I think, and I've listened to this audio clip now several times, and I think at the beginning, he says for the 2019 playoffs, 2020, whatever, that's fine, the year of 2019. I think he says it's for these playoffs, he's running a team for these playoffs. So I will give him that. I would like to point out, though, in a long-term sense, because again, literally the fifth time I heard it, I heard him say that, but in a long-term sense, and frankly, even if you want to go back to this individual year, this is like going back to 2013, and Russell Wilson is there. And instead of taking that year's Russell Wilson, you take that year's breakout running back star, not even offensive, AP Rookie of the Year, Eddie Lacy! Where is Eddie Lacy now, Bill?
It's on the 2010 All Thickness team.
He sure is. Is he on an XFL team yet? He should be.
Probably got to lose a little bit of weight to get to the XFL. Some tells me Eddie Lacy is a little bit bigger than we remember.
That's probably true. But so again, you can make it about just this season, and you can make it about you can narrow the categories to literally anything you want. And unless the category is pick a running back, Derrick Henry is not the first pick. It's Patrick Mahomes, and then after that, I don't know if Henry would be second. If you're starting a team, if you're drafting from these four teams remaining, Aaron Rodgers has been significantly limited this year. Like, he has not been as good by any measurement over these last couple of seasons, and still he might be next. After that might be Richard Sherman. Like, this is all, it might be Travis Kelce. Because again, it's just how the NFL evolves. But even if I don't go the NFL evolution argument and I just go by the categories that are set in that clip, of there's just a feeling of helplessness. It's just he's the scariest thing in these playoffs. Ask the Texans who the scariest thing in the playoffs is. They were up by 24, and they were down by halftime. They were up by 24 in the first quarter. And they were losing at halftime.
I think the Texans would have loved to have faced Derrick Henry in that moment.
Yeah.
24-0.
Yes.
And it's not. And Derrick Henry could have had a really good rest of the game. And you know what? A running back's just not going out there and scoring 7 touchdowns.
The Ravens couldn't pick up a 14-point deficit against the Titans. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't because of Derrick Henry. And tomorrow, I think, is circled for. I have my column on The Athletic this week going up. And so whenever that goes up officially, we'll talk about Derrick Henry more tomorrow and why I think the story.
Josh thinks he can beat the Chiefs
Running the football. Single-handedly.
In the second half, mostly.
Direct snaps.
After wearing the team down in the first half.
Just after the run has been established, it'll really open up the play action.
Keep Mahomes off the field.
Keep Mahomes off the field. Limit the time. Win the time of possession battle. We'll dig into that more tomorrow because we don't have a ton of time here tonight, and we will have plenty of time tomorrow, and that'll all be out there. But for any of this argument to be honestly made in this way has just left me completely baffled. Because not only, again, does it totally miss the way that players can and should and must be valued in 2020, but it fails to acknowledge the process. It doesn't acknowledge the results. It doesn't the feeling that these guys give you. Again, for me, watching Derrick Henry these last couple of weeks, he has some nice runs. He stiff arms some dudes. He's an excellent player. He's an excellent player, and he's fun to watch.
He's a weapon, and you want to utilize your weapons.
Yes, he's a weapon, And Patrick Mahomes is a killing machine.
Patrick Mahomes is Galactus.
Yes. At the very least.
He wants to eat the soul of your team. It's just he has to.
He has to. It's just he has to do it to survive. So that.
But he's also the good guy.
I lost my mind.
He's also the good guy.
I don't care if he's the good guy or not. I want him to eat. I want him to consume worlds. I want him to consume the Titans and then the Niners or Packers, and I don't even care who it is. And honestly, at this point, man, the gist of what we'll talk more about tomorrow and the article that'll go up and everything is the belief that Derrick Henry cannot win this game. Derrick Henry can be a part of a game that the Titans win. Mm-hmm. But Patrick Mahomes can win a football game. Derrick Henry can capitalize on the good situations that the offense has put in by way of their defense being excellent, which is what's happened these last 2 weeks. The Ravens made mistakes. The Titans are up 14-0 on the arm of Ryan Tannehill. And then that game had the life slowly strangled out of it over the next 45 minutes or so.
If the Chiefs lose this game, it's because their offense didn't show up.
Or maybe because the Titans' defense was superb.
Yeah, point being, something happens with where the offense doesn't perform.
Absolutely.
In theory, my guess is this is happening, but there is a chance, because he has played well this year,
yep.
If Ryan Tannehill has one of those games.
And if A.J. Brown goes 120 yards on four catches and three touchdowns, you get one of those performances. But even then, the offense failing to go blow for blow with the Titans. Here's what I'll leave you on this topic for now. For the Chiefs to lose to the Titans, they would have to settle for something like 6 field goal attempts, fail to convert on 2 of them, have a meltdown on 3rd down late in the game, have a fumble returned for a touchdown, have a lot of penalties, and fail to capitalize on some mistakes from the Titans. I know that because that happened in Week 10, and they still should have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
I am not fundamentally afraid of this Titans team, or Derrick Henry, or Ryan Tannehill, or potentially penisless Mike Vrabel. The one thing I'm concerned about is if that deal with the devil was already made, and Mike Vrabel did go ahead and
surgically remove
his
sacrifice for the game.
Remove his dong for the game.
Football guy.
If he did that already and made that deal with the devil and the Titans are just blessed to win, if the devil showed up at his door after he said that he would probably do that to win a Super Bowl and now he's done it and it's happening, in that case, even Patrick Mahomes probably can't beat that power. I'm not willing to completely rule it out. But that, to me, is the only thing that I think you should be afraid of in this game. I think you should be afraid of Mike Vrabel, dongless Mike Vrabel, having made a deal with the devil. That should be your predominant concern.
And whether or not Mahomes can overcome said deal with the devil.
That's exactly right. But I don't know, man. I've heard you can feel helpless whenever Derrick Henry's running the football.
I mean, also, have you ever felt helpless watching Patrick Mahomes? Because, I mean, I personally haven't.
That's true.
Like, I have not felt helpless watching Mahomes.
You're right.
Maybe that's because I'm on the side that prevents me from being helpless, but...
Maybe this is Bill Simmons' way of saying that he's now a Chiefs fan.
Ooh.
The Patriots lost one time, and he's like, oh, I'm out.
I'm done.
Well, you know those Boston sports fans, Rudy. They're also wishy-washy.
So wishy-washy.
They're all the worst. Especially the basketball ones. Ugh. Just rooting for subpar basketball. Haven't been good.
I don't know why they hate people with 2 legs.
They hate ankles so much.
The worst.
Beard, do you have any thoughts on this?
Second in the East.
All right. Fine.
Fine, I'll say it. Porter Jr. is 17 points in 8 minutes.
Go to break.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
My beard is at a level of voluminosity. Not Illuminati, Larry Johnson. I know you're listening.
Dude, his Twitter account. Don't use that as a liner. I don't want you to use that as a liner. I don't want Larry Johnson to find a picture of me from when I was 13 covering one eye. I just did it. Oh, I just did it on Facebook. And now you can take that screenshot. And now I'm a devil worshiper or something. Oh, now he's going to cut me saying I'm a devil worshiper.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I'm a devil worshiper.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Well, my career is over. Thanks, Beards. It's crazy because I'm pretty sure I explicitly asked you not to make that into a liner.
You survived worse.
That's probably true.
Accurate.
All right, we really don't have enough time to do anything here. I asked Beards if he could go to the internet. He said no.
Very quickly, too.
I was going to ask about, can we play 20 seconds of audio from today? Nope. Hour's over. Sad Fans on Reddit is next. Rudy, in 10 seconds here, did you see the video of Tyrann Mathieu running around in a thousand directions that Sam Mellinger tweeted out? If you haven't seen it, everyone can go to Mellinger's Twitter account. It is Tyrann Mathieu doing four different things, I think. Also, he's retweeted it now. Mathieu has. You can go to his account. I believe he does four different things on one play, where he's covering a guy, then dropping back again, and then following Deshaun Watson to the sideline and just running him out of bounds. It really helps put into context how very, very, very good Tyrann Mathieu is at all of this.
Yeah.
Also, we will hear from him at some point. It might be later tonight. It might be tomorrow. I don't know. Don't
rush
us. I'm
very happy he's a Chief.
Me too. I wish he was a Chief last year.
Yep.
But, you know, better late than never, I guess. Sad Fans on Reddit is next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.